Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I'm the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. or this evening at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study in the morning, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., and a different one, another one, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or you can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. Therefore is an important word. And while we don't often use it in our daily conversation, it's often used as a concluding word for argumentation. So a person might say a series of statements which you should or you would agree to, followed by the conclusion that they would draw from those statements, something maybe that you might not have thought about before. The book of Hebrews, by the way, is filled with therefores. Here in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and following, Jesus has some therefores in it as well. Look at chapter 6 in Matthew, starting in verse 25, therefore. Look at verse 34, therefore. And there's another one. So to help us understand this section of the Sermon on the Mount, we have to start with the ideas that Jesus introduces before we get to the therefores. So we're going to back up to verse 22 of chapter 6 in the Gospel of Matthew. Look at chapter 6, verse 22 in Matthew's Gospel. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Oh, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus sets up a dichotomy for us. It starts with the eye. Why does Jesus focus on the eye? Because it reveals what's inside of you, not the literal eye, of course. We're talking about your spirit, your soul, inside of you, where your focus, your life, where your eye is drawn, where you look, but on the inside. See, Jesus makes it clear from the next statement that you are either in or out with God. You have one master. Who is your master? Jesus speaks about the most common replacement for God, which is money. Now, we need money. God knows that we need money. Well, not really. Money is merely a thing. It's a representation. We tend to be really concerned about little pieces of paper with green ink on it or little metal coins. But if you find a coin from the Aztecs, for example, how much value does it have for us today? It only has value as an artifact from a bygone nation. What we really need is food, clothing, shelter, drink, and we purchase those things with money. And Jesus talks about those things here as well, doesn't he? The money just represents those things. And Jesus tells us God knows that we need all these things. Think about it. God made us. We are created by him. He knows that we need energy or food to continue to live. We need shelter for protection. We need clothing to protect us as well, to keep us healthy. And God has built this world for us. So why do we worry about such things? Well, the answer, of course, is that we are pained when we don't have those things. Right now, we've got snow on the ground. If we don't have any shelter, what happens to us? We don't fare so well. What about if we don't have clothing to keep us warm or protected from the elements? Again, we tend to get sick. What about if we don't have food or drink? Our body tells us we're hungry, and it hurts. It hurts when we're hungry. God made us this way. God knows that we need these things. And yet, these things, they tend to become our focus in life. They tend to become our goals. They become our gods. And money? Well, money is just a handy way to get all those things, isn't it? It's useful for purchasing food. What, if you need food, money will buy you breakfast. You need more clothing or better clothing, money will get you there. You need a house? Again, money. It is no wonder that money is a god to many people. The problem is, money cannot do anything for you beyond that. And it only has value if people will let it have value. Again, take that Aztec coin to a restaurant to buy breakfast and they will show you the door real quick. Paper money, coin money, well, those things, they can be lost, can't they? They can be destroyed, they can be stolen. But when it comes to God, none of those things can happen to him. And he has made all things, including the materials used to make the money in the first place. So which master do you have? Which master do you serve? Now remember those therefores that I spoke about earlier? Jesus starts this section with telling us that we have one master. This is the true statement that we all acknowledge. We have one master. We already know which master we serve right now. Right now, as I'm talking to you, as you're listening, think about which master directs your life. Who tells you what to do, where to go, when to get up, when to go to bed, what to purchase, what not to purchase? All you have to do to figure out which master is yours is look at how you live your life day by day. And for many people, that master is money. And thus, Jesus says, therefore, because God knows that we need all these things, and you know that we need these things, therefore, why do we worry about them? Well, because we need them, right? But God knows that we need them. And this is the crux of the matter. This is the part that so many people don't seem to think about or grasp. God knows that we need them. So why do we worry about them so much? If God has designed us to need those things, why do we worry? And the answer is because maybe there's been time in our lives where we didn't have those things. Maybe there's been time in our lives when those things were scarce or difficult to obtain, or they become precious because of how difficult they are to obtain. Or maybe somebody gave them to us, and so because of that, they have a sentimental value. The real question, remember, God knows that we need these things. So the question is, who do you trust? See, those who trust in God, they still need food, they still need clothing, they still need a drink and shelter, just as much as those who don't trust in God. But see, those people who don't trust in God, they end up worrying about everything because they don't have a trust in God. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. They don't know if there's going to be food tomorrow. They don't know if there's going to be shelter. They don't know. See, Jesus says God knows that you need those things. Don't be anxious about them. Instead, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, not only those who don't trust God, not only do they have to worry about everything, but they also, they don't have God. And that is a problem in itself. On the flip side, those who do trust God, we don't have to worry about those things. Now, that's not to say we don't need them. We still need them, but we don't worry about them. We still need to work. We still need to pay our bills. We still need shelter. We still need food. We still need clothing, but we don't worry about them. And many Christians don't understand this. They forget this part of the Sermon on the Mount, maybe, and they get focused on the necessities of this life and forget that they're supposed to have our focus on God. This is a problem for us Christians. It's a life without worry, and instead it's an opportunity to just live. This is God's plan for us. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? They were given to work, but not to worry. They walked with God. It wasn't until they stopped trusting God and ate the fruit that worry entered into the picture. Now, three times in this section, Jesus tells us not to be anxious. In verse 25, Jesus says not to be anxious about your life, your food, your drink, your clothing. In verse 31, Jesus says not to be anxious. Again, not to be anxious about what? Jesus says what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. Once more in verse 34, Jesus says, do not be anxious. About what? About tomorrow. What happens tomorrow? Well, we need more, don't we? We need more food. We need more clothing. We need more drink. And they will be needed. Remember, God knows that we need all these things. But don't be anxious about them. Don't let them rule your life, run your life, chasing after those things. Now again, especially when we're hungry, especially when we're naked, especially when we're suffering in the elements, those things are really important. Sometimes we focus on those things instead of focusing on God and his kingdom and his righteousness. And they end up becoming our gods. Now this isn't to say that when we trust God that we don't need to work. We do. In fact, there's scripture that says God gives us instruction that we need to work. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul writes, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. See, we're supposed to be workers. God has brought us into his kingdom, not to have our hands out begging constantly, but instead to trust him and be about the business of the work that he has created us for. And those things will be added to you. Remember, Jesus teaches us that God knows that we need to eat. Jesus does not teach us that God will provide everything for us without effort. God has created our world in such a way that there's ample food for us if we work for it. There's ample clothing for us if we work for it. There's ample drink, ample housing, etc. But we have to work for it. We can't just sit around and say, I trust in you, God. God, I expect you to give me all these things. But we also, while we're working for it, we're not supposed to be worrying about tomorrow. This doesn't mean that we don't plan for the future. This doesn't mean we don't plan for going to the market. Think about a farmer. A farmer plants his crop. Now, he knows at a certain point that crop is going to grow up. He will have to harvest it, and he will have to send it to market to sell. He has made plans for the future, but he's not worried about those things. Instead, he focuses on, right now, what I'm doing is planting my crop. God will give the increase, and then I will have to harvest, and I will have to take it to market to sell. This is the struggle. Not to worry about, well, will the crop grow? Not to worry about, will I make enough money to be rich? Not to worry about, will there be enough food? if we're working for these things, trusting God in his kingdom and seeking his righteousness, the work will come and these things will be added to us. This has always been the struggle for us. So the question is, do we trust God? Let me remind us of one more thing about the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel is about teaching us that God does things differently than we do. And this Sermon on the Mount is part of that same teaching. It hasn't changed. God does things differently. And when it comes to food, drink, clothing, shelter, God is still doing things differently. We're used to worrying about all these things. We humans have let the things take our eyes off of the important matter because we think these things are important. Now, they are important, but they're not as important as God's kingdom. They're not as important as God's righteousness. We let the things take our eyes off of God, and in the process, we have a tendency to make the things our gods. This is the problem. Of course, once we make the things our gods, then they run our lives. They tell us what to do. Our food tells us when we should work so that we can afford to buy the food, rather than God tells us that we should work and that the food will be added to us as we go about seeking his kingdom. And these things that are not gods, but we make gods, they make terrible masters because they don't want us to have life like God does. They want us to serve them. They want us to work for the express purpose of providing for them. Remember, we need food to survive, but the food isn't our master. It isn't our God unless we let it be our God. And in today's society, there's many people that have many gods, and many people have food as their God. Many people have drink as their God. Many people have work as their God. Many people have clothing as their God. From politicians to movie stars to food to sports heroes to work to nationalism to clothing to, you just fill in the blank, right? You get the idea. Money is usually the easiest way to represent all of these things. Money becomes their God. You cannot serve two masters at once. This is easily understood by all of us. We know this. And this is the challenge for us today. We can say that God is our God all that we want. But does that mean we really do have God as our God? Or do we have the habit of saying that God is our God while we serve another master? What do we worry about? Do not be anxious, Jesus says. People who say that they serve God while they serve money is a very common behavior here. Mankind's history is filled with people who say one thing and do another. We need to remember, God does things differently. He knows we need these things, but he has created us not to live for those things. He has created us for his kingdom and righteousness. So the question this morning, are we doing things differently? Are we doing things God's way? We all work. We all eat. We all drink. We all clothe ourselves. We need these things. God has made us this way. The question is, do we focus on those things? Or do we have the focus of God's kingdom first and these things second? See, God's kingdom first and his righteousness, Jesus says. And the rest of the things which we need will follow us as we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's what Jesus tells us. Do we believe him? Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21. Paul writes this, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Our righteousness, if we're seeking it, we will find that our righteousness comes through Jesus, not through our own efforts, not through our works, but through Jesus, trusting God, trusting Jesus. As we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, we find that we have need of Jesus to be righteous, and yet we still need to work. We still need to go to our jobs. We still need to gather food, drink, clothing. And to be in God's kingdom, we still need to seek that first. Jesus, in his sermon, tells us that we need to seek these things, not by being anxious for any of the regular things. Instead, our focus is to seek God, seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, seek Jesus himself. And these things will come to us. So today, we find that not only are we not to be anxious about what we're to eat, what we're to drink, what we're to wear, but in place of that, we need to be seeking Jesus. We need to be righteous in our living, and that we need to have our focus on the kingdom of God first. So this morning, who is your God? This is the question you need to answer for yourself. Are you seeking the kingdom of God? Are you seeking his righteousness? Or are you merely saying that? Are you seeking after the human things of food, drink, clothing? Remember, God does things differently. Are you doing things God's way? Or are you following after your fellow man? Jesus calls us to follow God. Jesus gives us the way out, the escape from that trap. The question this morning is, will you take it? Will you follow God today? Maybe up to this point you haven't been. Maybe you've had money as your God. Maybe food's been your God. Maybe your job's been, fill in the blank. You can always change. There is an escape here. What you need to do, what Jesus is calling us to do, is seek God's kingdom first, his righteousness first. These things we need, they'll be added to us. You can always start today to follow God. You can always start right now to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Just listen to Jesus and follow him. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. You can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. This blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something
me, and